Listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Don't just watch the draft, play the draft with the Cleveland Browns for your chance to win incredible prizes. Play the Draft is a new, free, and very cool fantasy NFL draft game. The first contest is live now. Sign up at ClevelandBrowns.com today. You can track the players like rising and falling stocks. It's a really cool system built into the PlayTheDraft.com website. And make sure you go to ClevelandBrowns.com to jump aboard that. Joining us now from Cleveland.com and the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the outstanding sports columnist and a guy who frequents this show, is Terry Pluto. Terry, welcome.
Hello, Vic.
Glad to have you with us. Let me first ask you the big question of the day. The Draft Day movie, have you had a chance to preview it yet?
No, I have not.
Okay. The mere,
it's a very
I know
good
you're
trailer. I'll say that
you've seen the you've seen a cool trailer. Okay,
yeah.
And you're up to speed, obviously, on the storyline, but in general, movies that have been done multiple times on Cleveland's sports teams, obviously. And give me a feel for what you're hoping to capture, because I'll say this: Ivan Reitman, his big point, he had said this to me and I'm sure other media, is he wanted Cleveland to be a prominent part of the story because he just loves the whole passion loyalty thing.
I think that, they were looking at Buffalo too before, and that's obviously a place you're very familiar with. And and I'm glad when they set sports movies that way. I mean, even when you looked at Durham Bulls, one of my favorite baseball movies, the gritty, back then especially Durham was a tobacco town when they set it there. A friend of mine was on the franchises.
Oh.
By the way, very grateful. That certainly moved some T-shirts and caps after that movie came out.
Yeah, it did.
But the point being, I'm glad they set it there rather than just the Giants or the Jets or some fictional team in L.A. because places like Cleveland and, let's face it, Pittsburgh or Buffalo or whatever, I mean, the draft is just so huge, even whether the team is good or bad, because they just talk football year-round. I mean, Vic, it's amazing. You got, a two-hour show every day, right?
Yep.
I mean, doesn't matter whether there's a game. There hasn't been a game since, 4 months ago.
Yeah, yes.
And you're still
arguably longer than that.
Right? And I don't know how many months you are from a real game.
Right.
But it doesn't matter. And I think the movie, from what I could tell, conveyed some of that.
It really did, and I do encourage you and others to check it out, if for only that reason, just, beyond a curiosity.
You know, Terry, if you remember back I'm sure you do, back in 89 when Major League came out.
Right.
And that had
it in Milwaukee, though. That was the bummer there.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. It was shot in Milwaukee. This is, staged right here
right.
in Cleveland. But that was the charming story of the Indians being, the joke of baseball, which they were at that time. And then how they grew into become this contending team, which in a couple of years after
the new stadium, but they got there.
Yeah, and then they got there, right? And you only hope this. I think the timing of this is unbelievable because here it is. You're talking about draft day, and let me tell you, in a couple of weeks, draft day is everything to this city and to this franchise for this football team. I mean, this is it.
Well, the NFL is just. Their marketing thing will be studied, for centuries, and how they're able to take the combine and turn it into such a big deal, or the pro days,
it's
all built
right.
around the draft. And I was talking to a friend of mine who's a general manager of one of the baseball teams, and they're just totally envious of how the NFL could build their off season around. Mm-hmm. He said it's almost like unrelenting march of combine, free agency, pro days, the draft. And it goes on a long time. And even now, the mini drama like Alex Mack, will he stay or will he go? Because they don't have anything in baseball like franchise players or transitional
right.
players or anything. He just says it's a remark. He goes, when you look at it from the end of the other sport, it's remarkable how they've been able to do this over the years.
Well, the other thing, Terry, is not only that and how it's leaked in to television programming and how now the NFL can take one game, Sunday night football, Monday night football, and now this new Thursday night package that's going to go to CBS, not just the NFL network, but to CBS, and how they can dominate a night of programming and just basically knock out networks right off the charts for those nights.
And they have guys on TV running around cones.
Terry,
a quarterback playing catch with the receiver. That's what it is. I mean, I have to admit, I know there are certain things you can see on a quarterback's pro day or whatever, but maybe because I'm more of a baseball guy or whatever, but it really is like judging a guy and how he hits the ball off a tee.
Right. Exactly. Oh,
yeah. And millions of dollars can be earned or lost in that T-shirt and shorts exercise. Terry, you brought up Alex Mack and the drama with that. Does he have an image problem? Because we know that a couple of things can favor the Browns here. Number one, that he could just agree to that one-year deal on the transition tag and make his $10 million plus, and he's a Brown for this year. Number two, he can get an offer from another team. The Browns can match it, and he's tied up with the Browns for a long time. But is he facing any image problem right now?
I think the fact that the team he's flirted with at Jacksonville really hurt him. And, in fact, when I wrote a column over the weekend about that ran Monday in the paper, was like, you know, Jacksonville, it's the same thing. Other than there's a better fan base here. You know, it's the same, going through the same number. I think they've won like three more games in the years that Mack has been in the league than the Browns, and they've been through the same number of coaches and all this stuff. And, you know, there's Chad Henne there and Hoyer here, and they're both looking for a quarterback. I know Baltimore, I had talked to some people in Baltimore, they were very interested in Mack, but they just couldn't really, you know, come up with any sort of contract deal. Now, that makes some sense. If you're Alex Mack, you got a chance to play in Baltimore or somewhere like that, or like DeQuell Jackson got to go to the Colts. Okay, nobody begrudges a veteran that, but I just kept thinking, Jacksonville, and based on my emails and comments on Facebook and things, a lot of the fans, too, like Mack, and go, man, that's just, I don't know, just sort of something unsavory about it. It's well, like, I want to get out of here, and I don't care if that bus is going to Lubbock or Los Angeles. I'm on it.
Right. That's, you know, it gives that feel, for sure.
And I think that does hurt him.
Terry, you look at everything right now, though, and as you lead up to this draft, and what they've done in free agency, and they've gotten the running back, and now they've gotten a veteran wide receiver, and they've gotten a safety, and they've gotten a linebacker and things like that. But it still doesn't it come down to the quarterback when they're going to get him and where they're going to get him and what round they're going to get him?
And, of course, and that's the thing we all love to talk about. But, yes, because that's where you go from being 5-11 to 10-6.
Right.
So, I mean, remember, the last time they were 10-6, they didn't know they had a quarterback, but they had a quarterback for 1 year in Derek Anderson. You know, the numbers were there. They were big, and that's why they made the jump. And when he went back to being Derek Anderson, they went back to being, you know, 5-11, 6-10, 4-12. So you're right, Jimmy, on that. That's where the big leap comes. But I also believe you have to make sure that when you're drafting number four, you get an impact player. And you don't just take, quote-unquote, the best quarterback available. You have to make sure that you're really sold on the guy. You know, I'm in the kind of the minority. The only quarterbacks of the top three that I like are Bridgewater. And, of course, we all know what he did wearing gloves in his pro day, so that means he must go in the 12th round, according to, you know, what I've been reading.
Yeah, he should have worn the glove. He did.
He forgot his gloves at home.
Forgot his glove.
You know. He should have worn his helmet backwards, but he didn't wear a helmet, and Johnny Manziel did. As a friend of mine said, of course, the reason he did that, he's so small, he wanted to look bigger with the helmet and shoulder pads.
Terry Pluto joins us from Cleveland.com, the Plain Dealer, fine sports columnist. Terry, as you look at what this team has done to date in free agency, 8 players signed, a whole bunch of them in that either close to or above 30-year-old range.
At least 4 of them are over 30 or older, I think.
Exactly. So think about that and what that tells you. I mean, there is a clear win-now mentality, but for those of us who've been around this team, you've been around it a lot longer, but just even in the last few years, this was unheard of.
Right. And also, when you look at, you know, who you were replacing, because, you know, Dansby has a major upgrade in a 3-4 defense with DeQuell. We all love DeQuell, but, you know, the fact is he's a 4-3 guy. So I don't care whether one's 30, one's 32. I want the guy that can play in a 3-4. And I think Whitner's better than TJ. And so it wasn't just you're trading one linebacker and one safety for another linebacker and another safety. You got better. And, yeah, you got a little older, but, I mean, one of the things the Indians did to get better was they added some age on that bench and everything. That's part of it is, you know, the leagues, whatever you're talking about, they're kind of unforgiving when you're out there in training wheels. You know,
absolutely.
Isn't that true?
Yeah, I mean, you watch, and the perfect example of that is what happened to that kid Leon McFadden last year.
Mm-hmm.
When he went out there, you're right. They're unforgiving. Wheel. They found him. They went after him. They went after him on the next play. They went after him on the next play.
I mean, it was just like, we're just going to throw at this kid till
That's
we
right.
make him cry
yeah.
or crawl off the field.
Exactly.
Or unless he just, you know, kind of mans up and makes a play. But in any sport, too, you know, when it starts to go against you like that and you feel they're coming at you, you just can't stop them. Whatever confidence you have left is shot. And of course, that's what happens with rookie quarterbacks. And look, I want them to get a quarterback somewhere in this draft. When I said the thing about the top four, I just want that player to be a big-time player. But they've got to go find somebody somewhere in there that you're starting to groom. You can't just keep going on with Brian Hoyer and whatever veteran you want to pick up later on and, you know, Alex Tanny or whoever. You got to get serious. Somewhere in this draft, there's probably a Nick Foles. I don't know who it is.
Yeah, that's the thing, because I think when we see what this team has to do to make the moves, and you're right, if they've not only addressed those positions but have upgraded some, and I think it's fair to say on paper this is a better-looking football team than last year, right?
Oh,
we agree
yeah.
on that.
Yeah.
But right now it is,
The quarterback thing has got to be significantly improved as well, and that's where none of us really knows the answer to that, because they have to draft one, but I don't know if that guy is actually going to be someone who's going to see the field this year.
Yeah, or he doesn't have to see the field at least on day one. I mean, the nice thing about Hoyer is I think most of us are comfortable, assuming the knee is coming as advertised in recovery, with opening up with him and seeing what you do for a while, and then you just don't kill these kids. You know, really in no other sport do you break in a player like you do a quarterback, and stick with me for a moment, because, for example, if you're breaking in a baseball player, he's going to face 94 miles an hour pitching, you know, in spring training, even before he steps into an exhibition game, you know, and he's going to get 40 or 50 at-bats against major league pitching before the season starts. In basketball, you're scrimmaging all the time. They're coming right at you. You're going at them. In football, you're not allowed to touch the quarterback. And so he's going to look good in all these drills. And then when you play these preseason games, my goodness, you can't play more than a quarter or two because he might get hurt.
12 plays.
12 plays, goodbye. And not only that, they won't blitz him. So, you know, forget that, or if they do. So he never really gets a chance to feel the game until the games are for real. And that's why it's such a shock to most of these rookies.
That's right.
It really is, because you can't stimulate, because you're always simulate it because you're afraid of them being hurt.
And then the other thing, Terry, just to jump on that thought, is that if you've decided to go with the kid,
yep.
then you don't play him in the fourth preseason
right.
game, right?
We just saw this done.
We've seen it done the last 2 years.
Yeah. I mean, you see, and you don't, and you play in one quarter here, and then, in fact, I think the telling sign was, wasn't it the third preseason game, Whedon had a bad preseason game, and you know, and even that was like, I think he barely played a half, maybe a little more. So you don't even get the feel of quarterbacking a full game. Where, for example, Hoyer, remember how he kind of had the up and down in his first start?
Yeah.
You know, and then he threw the picks in the second half. Then he pulled himself together in the fourth quarter. But for the preseason game, I mean, maybe he doesn't even get a chance to throw the picks. I mean, who knows?
Right.
But there's no way of knowing, and that's what's so hard about it. Where the other positions, you do get a pretty good idea because, you know, quarterbacks, I mean, the receivers are being hit in training camp and all that stuff. So that's why I just think it's just so hard. It's the hardest position, I think, in team sports to play and the hardest to handicap.
Oh, wonderful stuff, Terry. We could be talking with you about this for, as you said, 2 hours a day, 5 days a week.
So who do you have him in the sixth round taking, Vic?
Yeah,
hey,
that's
I
right.
I forgot, are you a Carr guy? Is that what I was hearing from you lately, or where are you?
I like Derek Carr. You've been hearing about that from me, and I do like him. In my mock draft, I actually have him as the fourth overall pick. But
yeah.
There are those who say, well, geez, that's really a high spot for him, and I fully agree with that. But I don't make trades in the pick. I just think he's someone they should draft, and I don't think they're going to be able to draft him at 26, so I gave him to him there.
Well, I mean, if they believe – now, if you have a guy you really like, you go get him. Jimmy, who's your guy? Because I said mine was Bridgewater.
You know, you're both going to wince. I am a Manziel guy.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I really am.
Are you sitting there wearing your helmet and shoulder pads?
Yes, I am.
I thought so.
Yeah, I have to tell you, Terry, whenever he played, I was in front of the television set to watch him.
Well,
I mean, I just thought he was just, everybody talks about that it thing, and I think he's got it. I think he's going to have to learn an awful lot, but I think he's got it.
Yeah, I do.
Well, he'd be fun. He'd be fun for us to write about.
Well, there will
about.
Be plenty to be done, but so anyway. But nobody likes my guy because he forgot his gloves.
Exactly. Terry, thank you.
All those game things, like the game films, they just don't matter anymore.
No, it's all about the gloves.
It's all about the gloves and pro day, and he's kind of boring.
We appreciate it, Terry.
He doesn't have it. He's just solid and strong and knows what he's doing.
It's all about it.
Knows what he's doing. That's okay. We don't need that guy.
Do you wear gloves when you type?
No, but I probably should. I always wear a hat, though, because my head gets cold.
He is Terry Pluto from the Cleveland Plain Dealer, cleveland.com. We always love it when he joins us. We've got much more coming up on this edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're going to hear next from safety Tashawn Gibson. Nathan Zagura got to sit down with him.
Hey, Vic, how about this? The Pro Bowl moving to Arizona.
Yeah, a little breaking news.
Yeah,
that's
moving
right.
To Arizona, and then it will go back to Hawaii in 2016.
It's like what they did before, right? They brought it in Miami. It was there for a year prior to that Super Bowl, I think, between the Colts and the Bears.
Oh.
And they brought it to Miami or South Florida.
It's kind of like they don't know what to do with
Hawaii. Yeah, they don't know what to do.
They don't know what to do with it.
Bring it to the mainland and then put it back in Hawaii. Okay. All that coming up, 216-578-0850. Stick around. Down to the track.